Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. I'm Joffrey McClung. Well, happy summer. I think we all know this is my favorite time of the year, and I hope you're having a wonderful summer. We are going to shortly be speaking with an author that I'm very excited to talk to about her new book. But I want to mention my homework segment first. Over the last few months, I've been describing what's necessary in order to reconnect to self-love, such as self-acceptance, self-gratitude, self-appreciation. But this month, I'm going to share with you a part of a reading I had recently with Ophelia and Liz Medeiros. Now, my resonance has been low for a while, mainly because I'm doing a job I don't care for, and it's been weighing on me. Ophelia gave me three techniques to do every day to raise my resonance, which is what I'd like to share with you today. Now, the reason I'm sharing these techniques with you is because I've just finished my fourth week of doing them. Now, psychologists have said in the past it takes about 3 to 4 weeks to change your subconscious. In truth, I do see a great difference in how I feel, which is why I'm going to share these techniques with you. Now, why is having a high resonance important? Because how we co-create our reality is determined where our resonance is at that moment. If you have a low resonance, you're going to create low resonance experiences in your life, such as struggle and imbalance. If you have a high resonance, you're going to create experiences that flow into your life that bring joy, happiness, and fulfillment. This is why I'm working on raising my resonance, because I wish to experience more joy, more happiness, and much more fulfillment flowing into my life. And frankly, having a low resonance is not how I see myself. I'm usually very optimistic and hopeful, which is another reason I wish to raise my resonance, to return to those positive energies. But I promise, next month I will return to the concepts needed for self-love. I will also share with you in this Inspires Me segment this month why inner happiness is an inspiration. But first, we're going to be speaking with Melody Kraft, who is the author of Get Me Out of Here, What's Beyond This Madness. The book actually won the 2023 New York City Big Book Award as a distinguished favorite in the category of spirituality. I'm sorry, my mouth seems to be a little bit tired today, but I'll get through it. Melody is a psychologist and works as a soul navigator, conducting workshops, classes, and individual sessions. She focuses on revealing one's life purpose using the gifts and talents each of us brought into this lifetime. Welcome, Melody.
Well, thank you for having me here today. Very good.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I can barely hear you, but we're going to keep moving forward. I'm going to start with a question I always ask everyone. Where were you born, and what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
Well, I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, and what I dreamed of becoming when I grew up, there were a number of things. I was an artist, so I thought about having a career as an artist. But for me, it was just a thought. I really couldn't imagine it. And imagination is really important to make a dream come true. So then I thought, okay, when I was 7 years old, I thought I want to be a philosopher. But I thought, okay, this is probably impractical.
Go ahead. Yeah.
But, you know, I often felt that I was being pulled to work in the healing field in some capacity. You know, it felt like psychology, but something deeper. And
all right, so as a kid, you dreamed of being an artist, and then you went into psychology. That's what happened. The art drew you, but you gave up art for psychology. Well, tell me about your childhood. What was your childhood like in St. Louis, and how did your parents influence you, either negatively or positively?
Well, my parents were like many parents. They had a lot of unhealed wounds. And when parents have not learned how to love themselves, then they don't know how to extend it to others. So,
I can back you on that one. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
And so, you know, I've learned in time not to really linger my thoughts in the past because you can't change the past. And so
no, but it's important that people know where you came from, Melody. That's why I'm asking you about your childhood. So your parents did not love themselves, so they didn't teach you to love yourself. Is that the truth of the matter?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I don't think you're alone on that front. I think most of us were raised by people who did not love themselves. They were not taught how to love themselves. So your childhood, you had some parents who didn't love themselves, nor did they teach you to love yourself. Well, were you a spiritual seeker as a kid?
I believe so. You know, my childhood was very challenging. And I would say, in a nutshell, I often felt like I was an alien living in a foreign land because I saw conflict and unhappy people. And yet at the same time, it never really quite felt real to me. And I remembered a place that was peaceful and loving. And I wanted to return to that place. I just didn't know how to get back there. So I always felt like I was walking in two worlds at the same time, you know, trying to fit into what I perceived as a world of madness that really didn't make any sense to me. So I spent a lot of my time drawing and painting and reading and really keeping to myself, and I spent a lot of time alone. And
did you have any siblings, Melody?
I had a younger brother. He was very energetic. He was like having 10 brothers. He had so much energy.
Oh, okay.
So we were very opposite. I liked doing quiet things, sitting, and he was just very active.
That's like my sister was very quiet, could read books for days. I had to go out and play. So I think the younger ones tend to want to play more than the older ones. Maybe I'm making that up. But so you read a lot as a kid.
I read a lot as a child, and I had a lot of abilities at that point that I really didn't understand. You know, I was aware of events that would happen before they would happen. I often knew what people
were
thinking. I saw people on the other side. And I really didn't understand any of it. I found it puzzling. It wasn't until I was much older that it started making sense to me. But today, I teach the things that I didn't understand as a child. So I teach psychism and mediumship and spiritual healing, energy management, all that sort of thing.
I assume you had no one to talk about it with as a kid, that you were seeing things or hearing things or feeling things. I assume you were sort of on your own.
Right, on my own. Yeah, I wasn't aware of anyone else that had the abilities at that time.
Well, I think that's, I wish I had that ability. I have friends who can see the other side or get messages. I don't have that ability, but I do respect it, and I do know it's real. So I love that you have that. All right, so you were an artist. You kept to yourself as a kid because you felt like you were a little bit of an alien, which I think most people tend to feel that way at some point in their lives. What drew you to being a psychologist?
Actually, when I started college, I was majoring in art. And one day I was walking with a friend, and someone she knew walked up to us, and he was having trouble in his psychology class, and he didn't understand the terminology. And I knew what it was, and so I started explaining it to him, and I thought, I don't know how I know this, but I know it. And so I found understanding psychology came very easily to me, and I was fascinated by it because I wanted to understand why people suffered, and I wanted them to heal.
Well, obviously, I think in your past life, you must have been a psychologist or in that field in some sense, since you had that at such a young age, and you knew how to use the terms in college, even though you had not studied it. So I think, this is my belief, and I'm just throwing it out there, I think you probably did this before in another lifetime. That's why you were drawn to it, in a sense. All right, so what propelled you? What drove you to write the book?
I always knew as a child I was going to be writing a book, but I didn't know exactly what it was going to be, and I've always had people telling me I need to write a book. And it really wasn't until maybe about 6 or 7 years ago that I felt that I was ready to put down in writing what I learned that would help other people. And so fortunately, I had someone who told me to keep writing all my notes from all my workshops, everything I taught, that I could use it for a book later, which I did. So I had a lot of information, a lot of case studies, and a lot of unusual experiences. And so I used that material and that wisdom I learned to put in the book.
Well, I think the book was quite fascinating. I finished it this weekend. The book is called Get Me Out of Here, What's Beyond This Madness. Why did you title it Get Me Out of Here? I'm just curious.
I think that was... I went through all sorts of titles before I settled on that, but it goes again back to my childhood, because when I was a child, I wanted out of the madness of this world. And so I thought, well, isn't this a perfect title? Get Me Out of Here, What's Beyond This Madness. And what's beyond this madness is peace and is love. And so the book is encouraging people not to view their life from the ego, but from their soul. And as they start shifting their thoughts, they start experiencing peace, and they leave conflict behind. And so it's a process of healing.
I think everything's a process of healing, frankly. I've lived long enough to know that you can't move forward unless you heal. Okay, in the book, you talk about the stages of spirituality. I think the first stage you describe is learning how to be in the world. I think you describe the stage two as a willingness to take another way, actually being exhausted from the delusions of the world in stage one. Now in stage three is moving beyond the darkness of the ego. So tell us a little bit about each of these stages.
Okay, so I use the terms that Nietzsche used for the stages. So stage one of spiritual awakening is considered the camel stage. And the reason why that term is used is because the camel is an animal of burden, and it walks the desert. It's on shifting sand. And so when we're in stage one, we're burdened with all these illusionary thoughts that we have about ourselves. And the ground beneath our feet is always shifting because there's no consistency in the physical world. When people reach a point that they've just had enough, you know, they just cannot tolerate their life anymore, it occurs to them there has to be a better way, another way. And when they reach that point, that's when they shift into stage two, because now they're willing to look at their life, to begin looking at their life in a different way.
So, do you think it takes a dark night of the soul to get there, to get from stage one to stage two?
Yes.
I do too. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
I got that feeling that you felt the same way, that it takes a dark night of the soul in order to get shake you out of stage one and begin to question, there's got to be a better way. So stage two, you've had the illusions in the world, and keep going with stage two if you don't mind. You said something about having free will in your life.
Yeah, so stage two is called the lion stage, and that's because the lion is to kill the illusionary thoughts that you have. And so now in stage two, what we're doing is that our task is to become aware of our thoughts, and notice, are they coming from the egoic consciousness, which is all about fear, and the ego wants to keep us stuck in the past, or are they coming from the voice of our soul, which is love? And so we tend to vacillate back and forth. You know, it's like when we're making a decision, how we kind of jump back and forth, should I do this or should I do that? What we're actually doing is we're moving from a fear-based thought to a loving thought. So in reality, we only have two choices for every decision we make. We're either coming from...
That was going to be my question later on, but since you're at it, go ahead.
Since we're coming from fear, or we're coming from love. And so the journey in stage two, there's many stages in stage two where we keep shifting our consciousness to a higher level. And what we're doing is we're in the process of extinguishing old thought patterns because they're illusionary. And as we keep removing illusionary thought patterns, the soul, the energy of the soul starts rising. And we start feeling more peaceful. We start remembering who and what we are.
And now, how do we get, what's stage three, the darkness of the ego, moving beyond the darkness of the ego?
Stage three? So stage three is referred as is to the innocent child. And that means you have reached a point where you do remember who and what you are. And the essence of you, of what you are, is consciousness and is love. And so in stage three, you can be at what's referred to as a super consciousness state. But we can also have moments of that in stage two. But in stage three, you're there all the time, or you're at the level of Christ consciousness state, or you can be at the cosmic consciousness state. And at that point, we no longer need to reincarnate, because there's no need to come back into the material world, because we've learned all of our lessons. So now we have a capacity for healing. If we choose to come back, we come back to heal and teach others. Or we can do that from the other side.
Okay, well, that's fascinating. All right. Well, let me ask you this. What are the two most common problems that people come to you for in general?
Doubt and fear that they're not going to be able to achieve their soul purpose.
All right, so what's the doubt around? That they're not good enough, they're not worthy enough, they're not lovable enough? What's the doubt around?
Yeah, the doubt's about just about everything. You know, and you're right, it's a doubt about not feeling that they're good enough. And they're always comparing themselves to other people.
And oh, well, that's, yeah. I hear that a lot. I keep saying we're not junior high people. Quit comparing. But so it's doubt. And what was the second thing you just said?
That people are afraid that they won't complete their life purpose or their soul purpose. They have this sense of there's not enough time. But the truth is there's always enough time.
Oh, there is. And I think way back in one of my inspiration segments, I talk about late bloomers, and I list people who did things in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s just to get people out of that mindset that it's too late for me to have this, too late for me to go for a dream. So I love the fact that it's never too late. And I got that from your book as well. I did appreciate that immensely. Well, and you have many, many stories in your book. Now, are all these stories people that you knew in person, or are some of these just highlighting certain principles?
They're all based on true events. You know, I've altered names and circumstances to protect people's identity. But they're all based, even the ones that seem really out of the box, are based on truth, you know.
Okay, well, there were some fascinating stories in there. We're going to, if we have time in our next segment, we're going to hit one of those. But let me ask you, I've been working on patience. It's one of the things I'm trying to grow a bit more into, since I tend to be hurry up and come on. Why is impatience detrimental to your growth? I love what you said about this.
Oh, this is a good one. So anytime you become impatient, what happens is that you energetically block your process for moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
You will actually accelerate your journey by being patient.
I said impatience says that you have faith that things are coming your way. I forgot what I said in my book, but I said something about patience reveals great things. And I'm dealing with impatience right now when I'm driving. I'm yelling at people when I'm driving. But I also know I'm dealing with some resonance issues. So impatience, I think, is definitely detrimental to your growth. I love exactly what you said about that. You talk a lot about the ego in the book. We only got about a minute and a half, so we're going to begin this and then finish it in the next segment. What happened in your life, or another way of saying it, what drew you to look at the ego? Was it your studies in psychology, or were you drawn to it before then?
Actually, I studied the Course in Miracles. And the Course in Miracles deals a lot with describing what the ego is. So it's just a collection of thoughts that you believe are true, about yourself, but they're not.
Oh, and about the world, too, frankly. I think it's belief systems are about yourself and how you see the world and your place in the world. So it comes from the Course of Miracles, the ego work. Cause I thought you did a lot of good work on the ego in your book. Now, we are talking with lovely and very intelligent Melody Kraft. We've been talking about her book, Get Me Out of Here, What's Beyond This Madness. Now, when we come back, I'm going to ask her a few more in-depth questions concerning her book that hopefully will help my audience as well. Melody, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about intuition and what intuition blockers are. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. We are speaking with Melody Kraft, the author of the book, Get Me Out of Here, What's Beyond This Madness. I love this title. Okay, you've talked about intuition in your book. First of all, describe what intuition is, and then describe what intuition blockers are.
Okay, first of all, everyone has intuition. Intuition is the voice of your soul. So when you're listening to your intuition, you're listening to your soul, and your soul is connected to spirit, to the divine source. And so I often refer to intuition as your compass, because when we listen to our intuition, we will receive guidance to move us forward in our life journey.
Okay, what are intuition blockers?
Intuition blockers, and these are just simply illusionary beliefs. All the thoughts that we have about ourselves that are not true. And so
say that one more time. Say that again. Intuition blockers are what?
Illusionary beliefs, illusionary thoughts about who we are and what we're capable of doing.
Okay, that makes sense, yes. So I use different terminology. I did not study psychology, but I know exactly what you're saying. All right, so how do we go around our intuition blockers?
Okay, so I actually have a method that I teach people on how to do it. And it was somewhat similar to what you spoke about earlier in your broadcast, is that we learn through repetition. So all the illusionary beliefs that we have about ourselves, we learn through repetition. But that means we can also extinguish these old thought patterns through repetition before we have those moments of insight. And so I teach people how to determine what I call your unique mantra. And this is just a word or a phrase that generates a feeling within you where you feel your authentic self. You feel peaceful, you feel free, you feel safe, you feel loving. And so when you have a self-critical thought, which is illusionary, which is a blocker, when you have that, you don't fight with it, you don't linger with it, you simply notice it, and then you shift your attention to that word or phrase that allows you to feel your authentic self, that place in peace and love. When you consistently do that, you will end up extinguishing old thought patterns. And now you're starting to remember what you really are, which is love.
I love that. I love that idea very, very much. I say different words, but it's the same concept. I love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got time. Tell us a little bit about the story about the man who didn't listen to his intuition and his friend died.
Okay, so that was Albert. So Albert, as a young man, went out to sea on a day when the harbor master recommended it wasn't a good day to go out. And he took a friend with his who did not know how to swim, and a storm came up. And it got to the point where he didn't know where he was. He needed to turn back because the waters were too rough. And he couldn't find his compass. But throughout the day, while he was trying to find his compass and navigate the boat back to shore, he kept feeling being touched, but he kept ignoring it. And at one point, a wave came, and his friend was overboard. And his friend could not swim, so he drowned. And Albert had been knocked unconscious briefly, and when he came to, he put his hand in his jacket pocket because he was really cold at this point, and there was a seam that was torn in it, and he put his hand down in it, and he found his compass. And so he was able to navigate back to shore, but he lived with the thought that had he listened to his intuition, which was mm-hmm. that constant touching, his friend would still be alive.
Oh, that it just breaks your heart. And I think women tend to get a little more connected to their intuition than men in general. This is an old concept. It's dying, thank gosh. Thank God. But it just breaks my heart that he didn't follow the intuition. Again, that's part of his lessons down here, but it still breaks your heart. Oh, now why do you people suffer? Why do you believe people suffer, I guess I should ask? And how can we transform suffering to peace and joy?
Okay, so people suffer, again, is because they're believing that there's something that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's about believing illusionary beliefs of who they are. And once they start shifting their attention, and they have to be really determined to do this. You know, really.
Oh, I know. It takes a lot of work and determination. I back you on that one.
Yeah, getting out of suffering and into peace is really a very simple process. But it is not easy. All we have to do is recognize a thought that makes us feel small, limited, constricted, fearful, and identify that's not a true thought. It's just an old pattern that I bought into.
Mm-hmm.
And then shift again to that place where you feel peaceful and loving.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's that simple. But it takes discipline, and it takes a commitment. It's like, you know, I'm going to make a commitment to myself. I'm making myself a promise that I'm going to do what I need to do to move from a place that does not serve me, from suffering, into a place of joy. and into a place of love, because that's what I really am.
Oh, definitely. And I think you hit another thing, imagination. That's number one chapter in my book is imagination and how we use it to worry when it's really to be used to create our dreams. And you hit that earlier in the interview, mentioning the imagination. I think it's vital. You know, if people could only get one idea from your book, Melody, what idea do you hope they would get from it?
I hope that they know that they're not alone, you know, that everyone has support from the world of spirit, and that everyone is destined to succeed. And don't
doubt that. That is beautifully said. They are destined to succeed. But I would add, maybe not in this life, but maybe the next life, just depending on the mood you're in that day. But your book was very uplifting, very informative, easy to read in a sense, and I think everyone should get your book. Where can people follow you, and where can they get your book, Melody?
Well, they can get it on Amazon, they can get it at Barnes & Noble, and just about any outlet. And if people want to contact me, they can go to my website, which is melodycraft.com, and I spell my name with two F's, so it's K-R-A-F-F-T.
FFT, I put two T's, it's FFT. You guys follow Melody Craft. She has some great things to share with you. She's coming from self-love from a different angle, but the same purpose in mind. I highly recommend you read this. Thank you, Melody.
Thank you, Joffrey. Thank you so much.
This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Discover the world's largest anti-aging organization, Life Extension. For the best information, vitamins, and supplements, you just can't beat Life Extension. To start extending your life, go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Life Extension banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Uplifting Talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, this is Joffrey McClung on Spiritual Common Sense. This month's inspiration is inner happiness. In my book, The Heart of the Matter, I discussed how we need to find love within ourselves in order to reconnect to self-love. Self-love is based on the idea of giving love to yourself whenever or however you need it. Now, most people look for love outside of themselves, which means they can go up or down depending on who they are around. Self-love is knowing that you are lovable, loving, and loved, no matter what anyone says or does to you. Inner happiness is based on the same idea, finding happiness within yourself and not depending on someone or something to give it to you. When you're able to find your inner happiness, then you truly are on your way to create a much more loving life based on self-love. Okay, here's a short story that highlights the importance of finding inner happiness. Once upon a time, an affluent man lived in a city. He was a very successful businessman with an abundance of wealth. But still, he was always worried and restless. One day, he went to meet a sage who was situated in the forest near a nearby village. When the man meets the sage, he shares his problem with him, that he has no shortage of anything, but he is still always worried. The sage heard his problem and replied calmly, "Come tomorrow, and I will tell you how to stay happy and worry-free." The next day, the man reached the sage at the same time. He saw that the sage was looking for something outside his hut. The businessman asked, "What are you looking for, and may I help you?" The sage replied, "I've lost my ring, and I'm searching for it." After hearing this, the man also started searching for the ring along with the sage. Even after searching for a long time, the ring was not found. And then the man asked the sage, "Where did your ring fall exactly?" The sage said, "Oh, my ring fell in my hut, but it was very dark in there. So I'm looking for the ring outside of the hut." The man was surprised and asked, "If your ring fell in the hut, why are you looking out here for it? And how will you find the ring here outside when you dropped it inside?" The sage smiled and replied, "My dear son, this is the solution to your problem." The man was looking towards the sage with curious eyes. The sage continued, "You came with a problem that you have no shortage of anything, but still you're not happy with your life. Happiness is right there inside of you, but you are looking for it in the outside, in the materialistic world." The sage added with a smiling face, "The entire ocean is inside of you, but still, you're looking for water outside with a spoon." Money or property, it's important in life, but happiness cannot be bought with money. Look for happiness within you. It's there, and you do not need to search for it in the outside world. The rich man was enlightened. The sage had communicated the message in a very powerful way. This worked as food for thought and gave the rich man an opportunity for introspection. He worked on the advice of the sage and actually found happiness within him. We often search for happiness outside of ourselves through people, things, trips, money. But happiness does lie within each of us. We just have to learn to tap into it. Our inner happiness is often covered up with negative thoughts, fears, doubts, or anxieties, just what Melody had said in our last segment. Happiness is something we choose for ourselves. Happiness is described in the dictionary as a state of being happy. And scientists have found that there are three things that make people most happy. Number one, pleasure. In other words, doing things you enjoy can make you feel happy. Not doing something because you're supposed to, but doing something because it makes you feel delighted. That is pleasure. Number two, engagement. Feeling interested in your activities. In other words, doing what you love and being interested in what you are doing. That's engagement. And number three, meaning. Feeling like what you do matters. And I'm going to add laughing matters. If what you're doing makes you laugh out loud, that matters to the universe because it lifts the resonance of the entire world when you laugh. And I would add a fourth one. Knowing in your heart of hearts that you are worthy of your self-love. To know that you are deserving of your love because you are worthy of love can raise your resonance to a new height. Now, we will talk about resonance in the homework segment after this segment. But to know that you are loving and how you uniquely express your loving heart is more than good enough. And to know you matter and are valued by the universe, not because of what you do, not because of what you will do, but simply because you are you. Finding our inner happiness releases us from being tied to people or things, because people and things often come and go. I think one of the ways to connect to your inner happiness is to stay positive. Be positive about your life and spread that positivity everywhere you go. I used to do this constantly, and then I hit a low period where my resonance dipped down, as well as my positivity. If you find that you tend to be a more negative person, consciously choose to find positivity in everything you do. Now, this will take some practice and determination, but it is not impossible. By staying positive, you're opening your heart to the possibilities of what may come, which I think is one of the best ways in order to stay happy, to be hopeful, to expect good things flowing into your life each and every day. Make that an affirmation for yourself. I am thrilled that good things are flowing into my life more and more every day in every way possible now. That's one of my affirmations I'm using to raise my resonance this week. Inner happiness is an inspiration because it reminds us all that we have the ability to give ourselves whatever we need, including happiness. There's a reason that people always say what they want most is to be happy, because to be happy means you love yourself. And we all want to love ourselves. And that's why inner happiness is an inspiration. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
You're listening to CHSR Real Radio on the web.
Hey!
Hello, this is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. This month's spiritual homework is going to be slightly differently. I know we've been talking about the different components necessary for self-love, and I will return to that subject next month. But I wanted to share what I learned during a recent reading I had with Ophelia and Liz Medeiros. I've been working on raising my resonance off and on during this year. Sometimes I'm okay and kind of close to feeling great. Other times my resonance is a bit low since I'm doing a job I don't necessarily care for, but I need to do for right now. Ophelia was stressing the importance of resonance and the ability to create what you want from the level you are at. If you have a low resonance, you're going to create things that challenge you and disrupt your life. If you're at a high resonance, you're going to create things that are quite wonderful and that add to your life. Well, obviously, I want to add to my life and not disrupt my life. So she gave me several techniques to use during the day to build my resonance. Now, one of these techniques is putting on joyful music and marching around the house saying the following: I am choosing to feel good. I am feeling good. I am good. I am marvelous. I'm tremendous. I'm grateful for the abundance flowing into my life. And you just go on and on about all the things you want to feel good about, or what you want to feel good about. Now, I've given this technique before in about raising your resonance, saying exact same thing I just said. But she added playing happy music, uplifting music, in other words, dancing music, and marching around the house saying these things with a smile on your face. It's actually a way to change your subconscious patterns that you're stuck in, that actually keep your resonance low. So I'm marching around the house saying that I'm choosing to feel good while I'm listening to uplifting music, and I'm doing this twice a day. First thing, before I start my job, and then when I'm done with my job, I march around the house saying, I'm choosing to feel good, I am feeling good, I'm good, I'm glorious, I'm spectacular, I'm magnificent, and I go on and on. Now, the second technique is using the tapping technique. Now, if you don't know what tapping is, you can go to YouTube and find out a little bit more about tapping. Tapping is something that I'm not necessarily drawn to, but at this point, I'm willing to do anything to change my subconscious patterns. Since my issue tends to be around finances at this point, the tapping concerns my money issues. So what you do is you tap with two fingers at your left temple, and you continue tapping all the way down your face, then going behind your left ear and down your neck. And while you're tapping, you are saying, I am no longer worried about having enough money for all my needs and desires. Now, the left side of your brain is very logical. You have to deal with it slightly differently than the right side of your brain. So you tap down your face, all the way down your face, down the neck, saying, I'm no longer worried about having enough money for all my needs and desires. And you do this 5 times. Then you stop. You go to the right side of your face. Now, the right side of your brain is much more easily, I will say, manipulated. It's your creative side. So you go down the right side of your face, tapping at the temple, and then down the face, back behind the ear, and down your neck, saying, I am thrilled. I always have more than enough money for all my needs, wants, and desires. And you do this 5 times. This supposedly shifts your subconscious. Now, I do this technique first thing in the morning, and then when I'm done with my job, twice a day. I really want to change my subconscious. Now, the third technique is about changing your image. Your image determines what you can draw, or I should say, what you can hold on to in your life. If you're feeling like a loser, you're going to be drawing losing things into your life. And now if you feel like you're a winner, you're going to be drawing winning things into your life. So Ophelia had me write down first on one piece of paper my negative image. Now she said I might want a glass of wine while I'm writing this, so I had a glass of wine while I was writing my negative image. The negative image just flowed out of me that day. It was not a pretty sight, I got to be honest with you. It was pretty darn ugly. But then once you finish with the negative image, you take another piece of paper, and you write down your positive image. Let's say if your negative image, you said you were unfulfilled. Perhaps your positive image has, I am fulfilled. The positive image flowed out of me just as well as the negative image. So I wrote it all down on a piece of paper. And then what you do with this positive image is every night before you go to bed, you read out loud this positive image. But what you do before you read the image is you raise your resonance by saying resonance words such as joy, peace, happiness, or love. I tend to say joy and love. That brings my resonance up quicker. So you say the words and you picture, I picture kittens and puppies running all over me. Gives me great joy. Love, I pictured my face being kissed by my higher self or my angels or my mother and father from the other side. So I say joy and I say love and then I read my negative, my positive, not my negative. I've torn up my negative image and thrown it away. I read my positive image out loud. You do this every night before you go to bed. Should only take a couple of minutes. Now, after you've read your positive image, if you can, you should play some affirmations as you're falling asleep. I happen to have a CD from one of my past guests who has affirmations on the CD. So I pop that in the CD player, pop it on, and fall asleep to the affirmations as I'm falling asleep. So this is the techniques that Ophelia and Liz gave me, and I would like to share with you, and I hope you'll add them to your techniques. So your homework for this month is to choose one technique to add to your daily routine. If you feel like you have a negative image weighing you down, do the image technique. Write down the negative image, and then write down the positive image. And then say your resonance word, and read that positive image out loud. If you feel like you're stuck with a negative belief system, try the tapping technique. Say on the left side, I'm no longer worried, and then fill in the blank. And then say on the right side, I am thrilled that I have, fill in the blank. And remember to tap from your temples, down your face, to the back of your ear, down your neck. And if you just need to raise your resonance quickly every morning, march around the house with beautiful music playing, dancing music, and say, I'm choosing to feel good. I am feeling good. I am good. I'm glorious. I'm magnificent. I'm abundant. I'm wealthy. I'm successful. I'm peaceful. I'm content. And I am patient. One of the things I'm working on. Experts say it takes about 3 to 5 weeks to change your subconscious. I should say 3 to 4 weeks to change your subconscious. That's 1 month. So make this month the month that you change your subconscious to a higher level of loving yourself. I'm now in my 5th week, and yes, I feel different. And this feeling may begin to be experienced in the 2nd week. So make this month the month you raise your resonance to a higher level. If you want to experience good things flowing into your life, you gotta raise your resonance. I'm Joffrey McClung. This is Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net.
Self-love is one of the most important love relationships you can have. We are all searching for more love in our life, and it really starts with you. Now there's a guide and workbook that gives you life-changing and powerful insights to help you through an enlightening self-discovery process to self-love, and you can get it on Amazon.com. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love by Joffrey McClung. Get it today. The Heart of the Matter, a workbook and guide to finding your way back to self-love on Amazon.com.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you want a master class on how loss can become your greatest teacher, then get the book How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live by Joffrey McClung. Following a period of loss through Joffrey's life, you'll discover how she overcame challenges to find the many gifts that helped her transcend to her authentic self. Get How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live at Amazon.com. Take Joffrey's lessons to help you overcome your grief and loss. How Learning to Say Goodbye Taught Me How to Live on Amazon.com.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
MySpiritualCommonSense.com is Joffrey McClung's website, where you can find a plethora of information to help you put some common sense into your spiritual conversations. Not only will you find out more about Joffrey, but you can read her blog and watch her one-minute weekly videos highlighting tips on how to stay conscious and keep growing. You can even get a free affirmations booklet if you join Joffrey's mailing list. So remember to visit MySpiritualCommonSense.com. That's MySpiritualCommonSense.com.
Eclectic Talk with a positive twist. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for joining me. I hope you got some inspiration, some information, and some spiritual homework that will move you forward. And please follow me on Facebook or Instagram. Also, check out my website at MySpiritualCommonSense.com. I have great blogs there, and you can read a little bit about my books on my website. I hope I've left you with some things that no longer serve you and picked up some things that celebrate you and who you are becoming. And remember, you are glorious, magnificent, and stunning in the universe's eyes, and have always been and will always be lovable, loving, and loved. Until next time, be the light the world needs and have love for all. This is Joffrey McClung for Spiritual Common Sense on HealthyLife.net. Have a joyful, loving, self-loving month.